Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us. If you're new to our listening audience, welcome. Hey, we love to connect with you guys. We have an email, hannahsheart@afa.net. That's hannahsheart@afa.net. We love when you send us your prayer requests, your questions, your show ideas. We even love connecting to talk and call you and pray with you. We've done that with some of our listeners. But for those of you who are new, this is a show for couples that are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, birthed out of Anne and I's hearts, because that was our journey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the show has gone on to talk about a lot of other issues that when you're trying to build your family and it's happening a different way than you thought it would, a lot of other issues like fertility treatments or adoption or the topic of today, foster care.
Yeah, yeah. We've covered all of that and more now.
Right.
And so it's such a blessing to be a part of this. And I love how it's grown. And I hope we get good feedback that we cover more than just infertility and miscarriage-related topics. So I hope that that continues and that people really are just inspired by the stories that we get to hear every single week on this program. And today, I'm excited. I don't know our guest personally, but we know his sister, and we love his sister.
Yes, we love
she's
her.
She's been on the program twice now, and I've gotten to know her just through her infertility journey with her husband. And
her name is?
Her name is Lauren, and she's so sweet. So she told us about her brother and the ministry that he started with foster care and a little bit about his story. And so I asked him to come on, and he graciously agreed. So, Andrew, are you there?
I am. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Well, Lauren and I talked about doing this a while ago, and I just now was like, I need to contact him. And so I was so happy that you could come on when you did, and that we could talk about what we're going to talk about today.
For sure. Yeah, she spoke highly of you guys and what you're doing there, and just it's an honor to be a part of it.
Well, and it's fun to have a guy's perspective on all of our issues, because we have a lot of ladies on the show, but
for sure,
a lot of fellas listen. And
You definitely get that from me.
Perfect.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah, we do have some guys that listen in. I mean, we've honestly had quite a few that are like, I just listen to it because of my wife. I want to be able to hear, you know, from a lady's perspective and stuff like that. And so we've had some guys reach out and have been like, we would love to hear a guy every now and then. So we appreciate you being here. But if you don't mind, just give us a brief intro of what your family looks like and what you do for a living, things like that, and then we'll get into your story.
Sure, yeah. I'm married to an amazing, beautiful, godly, all the things woman named Summer. And then I have three children, two boys and a girl. I have Judah, he's 8. Nora, she's 5, and then Micah, he is 1 year old, and they are something else, and they run the house pretty much all the time. So we have a blast, though, but we're located in Pulaski, Tennessee. I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, just south of Atlanta, born and raised in that area, a lot of family over there still, but Lord moved us many places over the last few years, started in Idaho, actually, at a ministry as a pastor on staff, and then moved to a church in Arkansas where my dad was pastoring at the time to help them in transition, and so ended up going from there to North Carolina, and then God planted us here in Tennessee, and so we've been in Pulaski here for the last almost 9 years and been able to just see God do some amazing things.
Wow, that's a lot of moving around.
When you say yes to God, the journey gets interesting, doesn't it? That's amazing.
Yeah, you don't know what the yes entails, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So the reason we asked you to be on is about foster care, but you didn't mention any foster kiddos just then when you were talking about your children. So what does that look like? How did you get involved with foster care?
Yeah, so for me, it really came down to a couple things. There's two verses that we're all familiar with, James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself sustained from the world. Mm. And then John 17:23, in them and in me and you, so that they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And those two verses really rung in my heart probably almost two and a half years ago. And I had a couple reach out to me from a city probably 50 minutes up the road from us, didn't know them from Adam. And this is a couple that was in the Nashville area. They had high-paying jobs and gave everything up to basically start this ministry in their church and go full-time with it. And so what it was they really were just reaching out to foster families and trying to invest in them and the social workers who were connected with them. So they said, hey, we'd love to come bring you this idea and really just need somebody to champion the cause in your city because no one's doing it. And so came down, we had coffee, we talked for almost 2 hours. It was a fire hydrant of information, and immediately my heart was connected. And the reason why is because I'd been praying, and I'd been praying, God, give me something more than just the four walls of ministry that I'm in right now, and give me a better connection to our community. And you know, they didn't know that, but God knew that, and so He was at work already. And that was probably 2 weeks prior to that phone call of them wanting to come down and sit down and have a conversation. So obviously God was at work, and so He opened the door for us to kind of walk into the space. And now our hearts are connected. It's part of our life. So no, we don't have foster kids ourselves, but we love every kid we get to come in contact with as though they were our own. So, yeah, it's been a blessing and a journey in itself, and there's a lot to it, more than this episode could probably even take because of the stories I could tell. But, man, it's been pretty amazing to be a part of.
Wow, well, that's awesome. So you're talking about being a part of and that this ministry started. So tell us about that ministry and, like, what does that look like for you to be a part of it?
Sure. So when we started this, I said, how do we get into this space? How do we love foster kids and their families? How do we love social workers? You know, those kind of things. Well, unbeknownst to me, four minutes down the road was the Department of Children's Services. I drive by it every day. I just didn't realize that's what it was.
Wow.
And so they said, hey, they're right down the road. And this is kind of how we started. And so I kind of modeled everything I did after them because I didn't know anything, right? So I sat down and I wrote out 27 handwritten cards and mailed them to the social workers at the office to say, hey, your job is hard. People don't appreciate you. We know it's a tough position you're in sometimes, but we love you and we're here for you as a church and as a pastor here in this community. And I'm available to you if you need me. And that's all it said. Went by a week later, knocked on the door, got to go in and greet people and meet them. And I had a lady walk up to me, and she'd been doing not Department of Children's Services side, but the CPS side, Children's Protective Services, for the last 13 years. And she made this statement to me, which kind of kicked all this off. She said, if I had a soul, I would have cried the moment I read that card. But everything I've seen for the last 13 years has seared me.
Oh, my goodness. Holy cow.
How can we love her to the point where she sees Jesus, you know? And so she said, but you don't know the impact that you had. And she said there were ladies sitting in their cubicles who had tears in their eyes and the timely message that you gave. And it was a simple message.
Just a card.
But it led. Wow. Yeah, just a card, right? Just something simple that is not something a lot of people do anymore, but something that opened the door for us to get in there. And so what happened was is it really took some time for me to earn their respect, to earn their trust. And what it turned into was a lot of things. So we basically put together some teams that would allow us to go in and we serve a meal once a month to those social workers to say thank you for what you do.
Wow.
It opens the door for me then to sit down and pray with them in cubicles in a state-run facility.
Wow.
They won't eat a meal until Pastor Andrew prays almost every time I'm there. It's the funniest thing. So, you know, I use those opportunities to share the gospel.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so outside of that, they've reached out to us beyond that for more things, you know, personally. So God just opened the door specifically with them, but then it turned into a lot of things. So they had a closet that was disheveled, and so we went in and cleaned it and stocked it for them. Real small. We got certified through the state to become state volunteers. That would allow us then to go into the office and sit with children and be around sensitive material and hear the stories and really work with those children and just be a heart and an ear to them as they tell us what's going on. You know, we would bring home cooked meals to those kids because they would come into office and they would get a fast food meal and they would come in with their black trash bag with their stuff and So we wanted to create a team that would, if we had somebody, they would be on call and say yes to making that meal and making it quickly. So a kid would have a home-cooked meal, but not just them, but the workers who were sitting there with them.
Wow.
So we were serving both sides of the fence. So all that, and it led to a lot more things, which then led to us sitting down with 24 social workers and asking the question, hey, here's what we're doing. I know that you guys appreciate it, but what is the biggest need and how can we help in the city beyond what we're doing? And the biggest need they came to us with was the idea of a tangible closet where families could go get needs met, free or not. That was just the way they put it to us. And so we began to pray and search about how we could do that, where we could do that. Long story short, our church owns an old grocery store that we converted to basically a ministry building to do a lot of things out of. We have a weekly feeding that we serve the community out of. About 200 to 300 folks get fed every week. We do some counseling out of there, a bunch of different things. And they had this space in the back that was basically a closet. And I say closet, it was storage. It was about 2,000 square foot.
Wow.
And they said, I went to the board and I said, hey, we would love to take that space and turn it into this closet. We went to one that was 50 minutes up the road. We got ideas. We took pictures. But this is what we need. And they said, we'll give you half the space. And I said, I think God wants us to have the whole thing. And they laughed. And I said, well, here's why. I said, there are people that are driving from 45 minutes south of us to drive 50 minutes north of us to get needs met.
Wow.
So it's not if, you know, if we open this thing, will they come? No, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to pray. And again, no budget, no money, no finances, nothing to help us. Mm-hmm. In this endeavor, our church was on board, but it was something that was middle of the year, and it was, you know, churches start ministries, and they don't always have the funding for those ministries. It's just God leads us into things, and he meets those needs. Well, what we found is that God has met every single need along the way, and this is the statement, I'll use it probably till my dying day, but God allowed us to walk into a space that he was already in, and when you walk into a space where God's already at work, mm-hmm. he provides every single thing you need, every single time. And so we began to reach out to just a small group of people in our church to say, hey, would you be willing? We know you have time available. You have the resources and the means to help if we were to call on you. And so these people said yes and stepped up. A small group of probably about 10 people. And that led to now we have 50 plus, almost 60 volunteers. And we have the wrap closet that's going full time. And there's 9 or 10 different teams that serve there. There's 9 or 10 different teams that serve in the office itself. The social workers, DCS office, and it just, God is blessed. And every need, like we started this closet and we needed shelving, we needed totes to store things in, we needed the clothes, we needed toiletry items, we needed bedding, beds, furniture, all these things. And God gave us every one of those things. Every time we would ask somebody, the need would get met. And it's still to that day happening. I had a man that bought almost $7,000 worth of steel shelving for us.
Oh, Lord.
I had one lady write a check, and she bought $900 worth of bins for us. Wow. You know, it just, God meets those needs when you're doing what he's called you to do. And that's really how we got into that space, was a couple came to us that we didn't know, but God had already orchestrated and opened the door for us to really serve and serve well.
That's insane. Hey, if you guys are just now listening and tuning in, you're listening to Andrew Maddox share his heart and ministry for the foster care community in his area and this amazing ministry that he started. I am blown away. Like, you are a modern day George Mueller. Are you familiar with his story?
I am, but I am definitely not that.
My goodness. But it keeps just the way that God miraculously provided. Yeah. He started a lot of orphanages and had nothing. And just there would be, you know, a milk truck. They'd have nothing to feed the children. And then a milk truck would spill right outside and be like, oh, I have milk that's spoiling. Can you do anything with it? Yes. And then that someone brought them bread. And like all these crazy God stories happen when you say yes to him.
Yeah.
And like, exactly. That is incredible. I want to go back to how it started with your serving the social workers, because, you know, a lot of times the public perception of social workers, especially if you've ever dealt with foster care, is that they just, it's a lot of red tape in dealing with them if you are a foster family, and it can be frustrating. And yet there are godly men and women or just even regular everyday folks that are just trying to help, and they're so stressed and they're so overwhelmed. The way that you started by serving them, it makes me just think of, you know, anytime as the body of Christ we help missionaries, you're allowing them to continue their outreach. And we really, I think, need to view these social workers as ministries, missionaries, because they are on the front lines every day. The story you told about them just feeling so seared of mm-hmm. and like not connected because of everything that they've witnessed. That's incredible. I'm sure a lot of opportunities for those sharing the gospel. That is incredible. There's not even a question there. I'm just responding to everything you shared.
Sure. No, yeah. And what's cool about it is that it's not just us that we knew we couldn't do all of this on our own. It's a big undertaking. So we began to reach out to local churches and say, hey, do you have people that would want to serve? And so of those 50 to 60 people we have serving is now other churches. There's 5 churches connected with us.
Wow.
And the cool part to me is that it's, you know, I'm a Southern Baptist church where I'm located, but it's not just Southern Baptist. It's Church of Christ. It's Church of God. It's others mm-hmm. who say, you know what? We understand the death, burial, resurrection mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, and we want to reach the city for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. We can differ on tertiary stuff and all that.
Sure.
But we're going to go after this. And so that's what God has allowed us to do. And then in doing so, it's not just me, the pastor, going in there, but it's other people who are a part and serving, which is what we want to see, right? The church be the church, and people step up and really take ownership of a ministry or a passion that God's called them to. And that's what we've been able to see, which is amazing, you know. But what'll happen is they will get a need and say they will call. They used to be able to call. Well, they still can, but it's a longer process. They would call a state entity, and they would say, this is the need we have. You know, this family is taking in a foster child, and they need a twin size bed. Well, that could take a month or 2 months to even get that to
them. Wow.
So now they call us and we say, I'll tell you what I have, I'll tell you what I don't have, but I can tell you what I can get. Mm-hmm. So now we've connected with multiple nonprofits and we have different avenues in which we can get items and needs met. And it's not just locally now, it is people coming from other cities around us that are helping meet needs, not just in our city, but the surrounding cities. It's called the Rap Closet of Giles County. Because this is where we're located, but we've made it very clear that, you know, in our county, we're not a huge county, but we're going to help anybody that needs help.
Mm.
So it has turned into, there's probably 15 to 20 cities now that we've helped throughout the year that we had no idea we would be doing those kinds of things. And it earns us the right then to go into their homes, right? So mm-hmm. they need a bed. Well, they need somebody to set it up, right?
Mm.
So we come to their house and we have a team that delivers things and they set things up. And every one of these people that we have, we sit down with them and we say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because mm-hmm. you're going to be having conversations with people. And I'd love to hear you vocalize that and see what that looks like. So that when they have the opportunity, if it arises, it doesn't always, and we're not going to force it. But, you know, if the opportunity arises, we're going to be ready to share. So everybody who walks through those doors or who deals with a family that comes to shop in our closet, they've been basically trained to be able to do that, which is a beautiful thing as well. So, just the avenues in which God uses us, we never thought possible or could have seen. And then when we walk through those doors and we're in this space, we realize, okay, there's a lot more than just this one or two things that need to be done. And we can't fix it all, so we need more people. And so that's really our prayer right now, is that God will continue to send laborers to the harvest field, you know, that we could reach and do more. I think God's given us a huge vision for the future and things that we'd love to see happen as we continue to love these families and these foster workers and these social mm-hmm. workers. But, you know, it just takes people.
Is it more like foster families that call you directly or the social workers that contact you?
So it's different in a lot of places. There's a lot of places that have these closets like we have. In our vicinity, there's not a lot. There's one. There's one, possibly two, within an hour and a half range from us. And so I don't know how everybody works, but for us, I think when we earned that respect of the social workers and they really trusted us and knew that we were going to do what we said we were going to do, they began to give us a lot more clearance to things like, hey, we'll just get you in direct contact with the family. Well, that's been great for us because these are families in our backyard that mm-hmm. we didn't know.
Yeah.
And so now we're walking through the doors of their homes, sitting down, having conversations and helping beyond just that practical need. You know, it turns into a longer relationship that allows us to walk with them longer in their journey. You know, there's a lot of people, though, you think about it, they go into rehabs or different things and they need a lot more time than just maybe a week or 2 weeks to really get back on track or get things fixed in their life. And so, and opening the door to us this way, it gives us that longer time frame to walk with people. You know, we're not going to fix everything, and we're not the ones fixing anything anyway. God is. But it just allows us to be his hands and feet to those who need it the most and in the best way possible, because we get to learn their story in a better way.
You know, the verse that you mentioned at the beginning in James that says, you know, that it's pure religion to take look after the orphans and widows. A lot of people don't focus on the second part of that verse, which is, and to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. We had someone on our show that was talking about foster care and what it meant to them to fulfill that second part of that verse, meaning anytime you're dealing in the world of foster care, the situation is not ideal. If a child is being taken out of their home, there's a problem. And it's so easy as Christians, I think, to get overwhelmed by all of the levels of problems. And you're just like, this, like, you can be overwhelmed by the need so much from living in a polluted world that you just want to shut down. But that doesn't give us the license to not engage and help. What are some of the issues in starting a ministry like this that you've had to overcome? Like, I imagine there's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of how do you make sure?
Sure, yeah. There's a lot of logistics for sure. You know, we're blessed that our ministry had space available to do something like this. I don't think that you need 2,000 square foot. Mm-hmm. You can start with literally a closet. You can start with the classroom, you know, or whatever. One of your life groups or Sunday school groups or whatever could, you know, house things in their rooms or whatever and get them on board. I think the biggest struggle that we saw up front is that there's a lot of people who, your heart gets connected very quickly to things like this. And then when you realize, much to what you're saying, when you realize the work and you realize that it's messy, when you realize that it gets dirty to walk with these kids and these families because life is not pretty. It's hard to keep them on board for the long term. You know, there's people who are passionate like I am, like this is, and this is what I told them day one when I walked the door. I said, look, if I can get no one else, you have me. What that looks like, I don't know. I said, but I will give you everything I have in my power to give that God will allow me to do. And I'll be a part and I'll serve. And I've tried to replicate that in those that I bring alongside of me. Because one, I know I can't do it all. Two, my plate is already full, but God has called us to this and we can't stop. So we need more people to come along with passion, with fervor, with desire to see God work and move and to use them. And that's what I've told people, like, you have no idea, like we said earlier, when you say yes, what God will do. Mm. But what I've found is that when we say yes, we see God do things that we never thought possible.
Yeah.
And we get to be a part of that. And that's the story that we get to tell and testify of, which then in return opens the door to the gospel, right? So, yeah, there's a lot of different things, you know, from what you need as far as, you know, shelving or how you're going to store things or your inventory system and all that. And all that you just got to figure out. I think for me, it was asking people who were already doing this type of thing. And even if they weren't local, I found their contact and got in touch with them to ask questions. I went to places and took pictures, and I brought a lady on board who is she homeschools her children, but she had a passion for this as well, and I knew it, and so I asked her if she would be on board to help, and she now actually is the coordinator of our closet, and so I work alongside of her, and so that's the beauty of this, right? It's that the church is working together, that God is planting seeds of passion and desire to see his work fulfilled, And we can't do it alone. You know, that's the biggest piece, I think, for us is in building this and creating it in a space that God was already moving in, is that he would give us what we needed. We do a lot of different things, and this kind of adds to that. But every December, the 6th, we do what's called Night of Joy. Our second annual one was this year. What that is we invite these foster families that we've been in contact with for the year to come be a part of a very special night. We cater a meal. We have live entertainment. We share the gospel with that. There's activities for children, pictures with Santa, all of the works. Our people come and serve, and it's just a special, special night. Well, in that, we give every child, biological and foster, three gifts, a $75 and then two $20 gifts. So it's about $115 per child. And then we give a $50 gift card to a local restaurant to the foster family and say, hey, in the coming months, we're going to have a parents' night out. We'd love for your kids to come back. Mm-hmm. Take that gift card, go on a date night, have a night of respite, whatever you need.
Wow.
Go take a nap in your room with your kids somewhere else. But we want to offer that to them because that opens the door again for us to have that ongoing conversation, to love them in a way that they don't get, you know?
Yeah. Well, and just as foster parents, that's just amazing. Like,
well,
I'm not
goosebumps.
Foster parents right now, but as just a biological parent now, and we have fostered in the past, but to know that I had that option, is amazing. We're about out of time, unfortunately, but how would someone get in touch with you, or like, is there a Facebook page that someone could go where they could get involved if they're interested?
Yeah, currently we just have a Facebook page. It's Wrap Closet, WRAP, of Giles County. Reason for the reason for Wrap, by the way, our mission is this, is to wrap around foster families with the love of Christ. Very simple, right? But that's where that comes from. And so it's Wrap Closet of Giles County, and you can find us there on Facebook. You'll find all kind of needs listed at times. We'll post, you know, immediate needs we might have. But feel free to reach out. Our contact is there. You know, our biggest need that we have really is probably twofold. One is financial monthly givers. That helps us do the ministry that we're doing. Like I said earlier, there's no budget. There's no nothing like that. And God has just continued to give and meet the needs. That night of joy that we have, that cost about $16,000, and God gave every dime of that. We didn't do anything. You know, so God meets the needs, but you'll see everything on there.
Yes. Hey, Andrew, we are about out of time. You guys, please go check out that. There's a ton of needs. And also, I think maybe he lit a fire under somebody else who might want to start a ministry like this. Go call Andrew. Go connect with him. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to Hannah's Heart. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. You guys have a great day.
You're welcome.